Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. And our Lord says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A 19th century pastor once wrote this: "Everyone must have something as his treasure. The soul holds on to something, either perishable or imperishable." How true that is. Every one of us, our hearts, our souls, want to grab on to something. There's something that we hold as really important. I remember years ago, one of my college roommates, for one entire year, journaled and wrote down every penny that he spent that year. And near the end of it, he was going back and looking through all of those pages, and he said to me, "You know, you can really start to see what's important in your life and the things that you hold dear when you journal like this." Imagine if someone was to do that on me or on you, to actually observe and watch everything we do, even in our private lives, and what we spend our time on, and what we invest our hearts and our passions and our souls into. What would it show up that's important to us? Our Lord, in the words before us, is calling upon us to take, if you will, spiritual inventory of where our soul's priorities often lay. When it comes to where we invest ourselves and our lives and what really matters to us. The context of these words is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And you would think at first when you hear them that he might be talking to heathen, godless people. But no, these are addressed to his believers. These are addressed, in fact, to his inner circle, the disciples who are closest around him. The ones who in many cases had given up their livelihood and probably the use and advantage of much of their possessions, maybe he even had walked away from a lot of the important relationships in their life to be with Christ. And yet these are the ones, his most faithful, if you will, that he now speaks these words to. One of the first years that I was in the ministry, I went to a seminar that was entitled Life in the Parsonage. And the purpose of it was that pastors and their wives could come to this seminar from our circuit that I was in and learn about finances and learn about retirement planning and things that dealt with our own money and so on. And a number of us looked around the room and thought, this is the best attendance we've ever had. It was perfect attendance from our circuit. And the man that was there to conduct the seminar said to us, "Yeah, they always show up for this." So it's no different among even the clergy, where the things that can really matter to us and in our lives and in our hearts can go back to the earthly things that we can possess. So why must our Lord warn the members of his church, even with his disciples here, what some might consider the most faithful members of his church, why must he warn them and speak to them so bluntly about earthly possessions? Well, he knows, first of all, that this is a deeply rooted base sin in all of us. And it's something that starts when we're really young. And it just seems to grow inside of us. How easy it is for me to pray about the earthly things and blessings and benefits that I want from God, but how easy it is also to forget about praying for the spiritual blessings I really need and to keep my heart focused on my heavenly home. I remember years ago a grade school teacher told me that, this was back in the days before all the digital clocks, she said she used to have to spend a lot of time teaching children how to read an analog clock, but she didn't have to teach them much time learning how to count money. That's something you pick up just like that. That's something you start to figure out just like that. So our Lord knows that this is something that is so deep-rooted in us. He also knows that it's something that has a tendency to creep back into our lives. Even though we maybe by his grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit have been brought to a knowledge of him as our Savior and the hope of heaven that we possess, he knows that it can easily come back in and worm its way back into our priorities. Just as he warned us in the parable of the sower and the seed, and how that one plant had the weeds of the cares and pleasures of this life that slowly, gradually grew up around and started to choke off that faith. Our Lord also knows that we live in a world where we can often see some tremendous blessings. And is that ever the case for us here in the United States? Just think of the wealth that is in our nation. It's amazing. And in our communities. Oh boy, we sure like to grumble about how tough things are economically. You think so? Look around the world. How many people from the United States try to rush across into the borders of other countries to deliver babies so they can have citizenship in that land? It's happening every day here in our country. There are more than 400 billionaires, not millionaires, billionaires in the United States. We have wealth all around us. We have riches all around us. Even the poorest neighborhoods in our inner cities have satellite dishes on their roofs. We are so blessed, and that's another great danger for us. And our Lord knows that about our world. And he knows also that none of us are immune. Even Judas from his inner circle was stolen away by this materialistic idea. The temptation to be earthly minded has nothing to do with how much money you have. You could be the poorest person in the world, and you could still have greed in your heart, or the wealthiest. It doesn't matter. Our Lord also knows what this materialistic drive in us will ultimately do for our souls. It's kind of like drinking salt water out of the ocean. The more you drink of it, the thirstier you become. So it is with the things of this life and of this world. The more we try to satisfy the thirst of our souls with the stuff we can get here and the things we can have in this life, ultimately, the thirstier we will be. And our Lord also knows what finally happens to all of this stuff in this world, to all the things that we can acquire, will ultimately be gone. 13 years ago last week, a tornado hit St. Peter. They're still finding debris from it in Wisconsin. 130 miles away, they found debris from St. Peter from that tornado. Think of all the life and investment that people probably put into much of that stuff that they had and how quickly it could be blown away in a matter of minutes. Our Lord calls upon you and me, those who have been blessed to know him as their Savior, who've been blessed to appreciate by God's grace what his mercy has meant for us. He calls upon us to invest our hearts and our souls into something that will truly last. Listen again. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Watching you someday come through the gates of heaven and get to see what this amazing place is like that we only kind of dream about in this world and hear about in Scripture. Watching you get to experience what it's like to be in the presence of the Son of God and the presence of the angels. Watching you get to experience eternal life. Watching you get to meet personally the patriarchs of old. And watching you get to enjoy his presence forever, that was worthy of your Lord's suffering, death, blood, life, and resurrection. There's a lot of other stuff he could have come to use all of that for, to buy for you in this world, but none of that was really worth it. But heaven, an eternal home, an eternal riches, that was worth the investment from Christ to you. To lay his life on the line and to use his holy blood to pay for even the sins of greed that cause us to be attached to the things of this life so that we could be fully forgiven. And the last thing that he wants is for you to lose all of that. One final point. If you remember the story of Abraham and his son Isaac, how God called upon him to take his only son, through whom the promise of Christ was to come, and to go up on the mountain and sacrifice him. How hard that must have been for Abraham, this child that he had longed for and probably had such deep attachment to, with his heart and his very soul and his love for him. And yet the Lord, once he saw that he was willing to give that up, turned around and gave it right back to him. That's how it is with the Lord, with the blessings of this life as well. He calls upon us to be heavenly minded, and through the work of Christ has given us so much there. And yet he also turns around and gives right back to us the blessings we get to enjoy in this life. But then he commands us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Amen.